League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. What do you think, Carver High? Are they going to give, I think they're going to give Vladdy Guerrero the MVP if they win this game because he had the home run and an RBI single.
Yeah, I would bet right now that it's going to be him, and I think he's the heavy favorite. I saw that FanDuel was putting up some live odds on the MVP, and he was the favorite when I checked right before we started the show. Let's see if they still have that up. They do, and yeah, they have him minus 2,200. So the books right now are favoring Guerrero Jr. to get the MVP, and he had the highlight of the night, right? I mean, when you hit a home run that far, that's going to be the one thing people are going to remember out of this game, that's for sure.
Right, other guys hit home runs, but not like that one.
Not like that one. Not like that one.
So I think he's going to get it if they close this out. And they still got to get three outs. And they had a hairy situation in there. I got to tell you, I question, obviously, I'm not the manager, so I was wrong. But I got to tell you, I don't leave Barnes in there because he couldn't throw a strike. Well, and you got two really good pitchers out, the best closer in the game, and another guy that's a great pitcher in Rodon out there warming up, ready to go. And how do you not go to him? Like, when you got a guy out there, I know he's the best closer for the Red Sox, but he was clearly off.
No, you're right. And I think that the problem was, and I know they showed Hendricks warming up, but I think that he's warming up to pitch the ninth. Like, these all-star games, when it comes to the pitchers, they are so scripted. The manager knows who's pitching what inning, when the game starts, who's not getting in. But you're right. When a guy goes a couple batters, and you see that he's just not throwing strikes, which is why they got somebody else up in there. I forget who it was.
Rodon.
Yeah, maybe it was Rodon and the kid from the Twins, Rogers, too. I saw him get up and start throwing the ball also. They started getting a couple guys up once Barnes, who's in his scripted spot in the eighth inning pregame, wasn't getting it done. So, you would have saw somebody else if that Bryant catch,
so what's
if
the difference?
Catch didn't happen.
So what's the difference if you let Hendricks get four outs?
Yeah, because they don't want to overuse these guys in the All-Star game. So they're not going to – They are absolutely not going to do that. They are not going to have a guy get four outs in the All-Star game.
Oh, come on.
They're not. Like, that's just how – that's how they operate. They don't care enough. The game doesn't matter. They're not going to risk any kind of –
That's like telling me that the goalie can't do the shootout.
Yeah.
He's too tired.
But there is one thing, and you talk to Rick about it. Like, the second half of this game has been very tough from an aspect where, like, there's, like, because of all the guys who didn't show up, you've got, like, three or four guys from the Royals, three or four guys from the Texas Rangers. Like, these are the worst teams. Remember the days when the worst team, they always have to send one guy, which is ridiculous, but the worst teams would only ever have one guy, and that's it. Like, if you were the five or six or seven worst teams in the league, you got one guy at the All-Star game if you were, and that was that. Done. I mean, you got three or four Royals and three or four Rangers running around this place. I mean, nothing against the Pirates. Even they had two guys, Scotty. And Reynolds and Frazier both deserve to go, but the Pirates are in last place.
Listen, don't make fun of my team, all right? You know, there's a lot of things that I can handle, and that's not one of them. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM. Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Yeah. Near to you wanna do you wanna. Sports Map, Radio Network, Sports Byline, USA Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Farrell on a bench. on a Tuesday night, All-Star night in Denver, with Carver High joining me tonight. 844-843-6879 is the number. Again, 844-843-6879. So now Wheeler is pitching. Zach Wheeler, who's had, I think, pretty filthy stuff in Philadelphia this year, striking out lots of guys. He's had great command. And, I mean, his sinker, are you kidding me? I mean, he can throw all kinds of pitches. So, Nevarez, Taylor, Albies up in the money. Bottom of the ninth, National League down to their last three outs, down 5-2 in the All-Star game. All right, we'll keep our eyes on this game. I wanted to shift gears a little bit and talk about Kawhi Leonard. He had surgery to repair his partially torn ACL tonight. He's good to go. Apparently that went well. But the thing is, you know, obviously we can talk about it with Dr. Zhivago later in the week on Friday, Dr. Chow. But the reality is this. You know, as you know, Carver High, I play a doctor on General Hospital weekdays at 3 on ABC. And all I know is what is the difference, in my opinion, if you tear your ACL, all right, completely, I get it, you're out of here. You're going to tell me that he tears it, half of it, let's say it's partially torn. Partially. I don't care what you say. Either way, you have to fix the ACL. A slight tear, partial tear, full tear, I don't want to hear it. You have to fix the whole thing. I don't care how little the tear is. And I want to know how long you think he's out. Is he out a year? So anyway, two things. A, do you think that he's short-term with this ACL surgery? Or do you think he's long-term, Carver High? Because they don't say anything about how long he's going to be out, if he's going to be ready for. I have a hard time believing that if you have ACL surgery, that you have, I don't care what kind of tear it is. If they have to fix your ACL, obviously, what's the difference between a big tear and a small tear? They still have to fix it.
Right. Right.
I just don't believe that he's going to not be out.
What a loser. They got the leadoff man on here in the bottom of the ninth. This guy Hendricks better lock this down. Yes, so either way, it seems like over the last 3 or 4 years, or for me really 5 to 6 years, whatever it is, that the ACL
wild pitch injury, throw out at second.
Threw him out.
It hit the wall behind the plate, and it came right back to the catcher, and he threw him out, Zunino.
Let's go. That's what we're talking about here. Listen, we're trying to close this thing down here.
We got a lot of money going on this. Hendricks throwing wild pitches. He's all over the place.
We got a lot happening here. But look, the ACLs have obviously become so prevalent in the last 5 or 6 years that it seems like the surgeries and the recovery time and everything has gotten a little bit quicker. Now, here's the thing with Kawhi. You said it. Everything has been so cloak and dagger with this injury. Like, remember when they were still in the playoffs and they did the dopey thing? Like, they couldn't even tell you that he had the partially torn ACL. They had to do the whole, you know, he's out tonight. He's out for game four. And he's out for game four. No kidding. He's out. Clearly something was wrong for him. And now a couple weeks goes by and they finally just give you the vague, he had surgery to repair a partially torn ACL. Now, you're right. You'll have to ask Dr. Zhivago. But what the hell's the difference if it's partially torn or it's fully torn? It's torn. And the dude is going to be out, and he's going to have to do rehab. He's going to have to do work. He ain't going to be back on the court in October or November or December. I mean, you're going to hope he's back on the court. You know, now these guys do come back faster now. We've seen under a year for ACLs. I mean, we just have. I mean, whether it's Barkley's coming back in under a year. He looks like he's ready to go from last year. I don't know if his was partially, not partially. Will he play at the end of next year? Yeah, sure. Maybe. But it's all different for everybody. Everybody's body heals in a different manner. Everybody
struck
heals
him out.
At different. Let's go. Boy, Hendricks.
So you're right, but let me ask you this. So it's no different than the NHL, right? They they lie about injuries and they hide injuries, and they use it. They use it so that you'll never know if the guy's gonna play or not. If he's, they just play like he might be in the lineup tonight. You'll never know. Meanwhile, Kawhi Leonard had no chance to play in any of those games, but they used it as a chess piece like he was gonna.
Right. That exactly. And that's what they did. And everybody kind of had the idea that he wasn't going to play, but instead they played the dopey cloak and dagger game where you don't, you know, oh, well, he might not play or he might come back for the next game or the next series. He wasn't coming back. He's got a partially torn ACL. And the hockey does it different. These guys, they shoot him up and they play through because I think it was either today or yesterday. Then the Lightning released like their laundry list of injuries that they had where they're like, well, Hedman played with a Hedman played with a torn meniscus the entire playoff, and Kucherov broke his rib against the Islanders and played with it, and two guys had broken hands, right? McDonough and Coleman had broken hands throughout the playoffs. Like, look, and those guys finished it off. You know, they finished a deal, they won the cup, and they all played pretty well. But it is amazing what goes on with this stuff.
They should have swept them.
Yes, they should have swept them, but. They got to have their party in Tampa, and they gave those people in Montreal one night there in game four where they all went nuts out there, down 3-0 when they won that game. And then the Tampa people got to have their moment there, and I got to cash my Tampa in 5 tickets. So everybody won at the end of the day.
Everybody's happy. I got to tell you, while we're at it, I mean, remind me, I still want to talk about this PJ Tucker, Giannis conversation, but While I'm at it, speaking of the hockey, just very quickly, I thought those odds I saw for next year's cup are just the worst things I've ever seen.
Right.
I mean, I literally thought that list. Right, I mean, I want to know the guy that sat around and decided that he was going to put those out.
Well,
I don't care who he works for. You can say it all you want. I'm not saying it. I want to sleep well tonight in fear of saying anything, but the reality is those odds sucked. They're the worst odds I've ever seen in my life. Honestly, like, I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, this guy, they had the Kraken. You mentioned it on Coast to Coast. The Kraken was ahead of like 20 teams.
12 teams. There's 12 teams that the Kraken are ahead of, and they don't even have any players yet. Now you know what's factoring in there. That's the Vegas factor. And that's going to be the thing with the Kraken going into this season and after we see this expansion draft, which is actually coming up in the middle of next week. But that's going to be because Vegas did so well in their first year, they're going to expect Seattle to all of a sudden be great right out of the gate. And as you know, and we have talked about a billion times, Vegas, what they did their first year, and I know they've set it up here, later on in the year 2021, where the expansion team has a little bit more of a leg up than, let's say, Atlanta or Columbus or Nashville or, you know, Tampa back in the day. But still, you cannot expect Seattle to do what Vegas did a few years back. Game over?
Game
we got
over.
A winner? Win. Cash him. Cash him. Under in the American League. Let's go.
And the under.
Proud.
5-2 final. Hendricks closed the door. So anyway, I'll say this about that. I think that's utter BS. I think it's absolute. I really do. It's about money. And when you pay $1 billion to get into the league, now they guarantee you a good team. And back in the day, whether it was 67 or whether it was 99 with Atlanta, you know, you can go back to 1967 and I guarantee you they didn't get Jack Shaq. And then, I mean, they were the bottom feeders, all those teams, the Penguins when they came into the league. And then in 99, when I was with the Thrashers, that was the worst expansion team in the history of the league. Bar none, hands down, far and away. And they gave them absolutely nothing. And then you give Vegas this Stanley Cup contender, and now they're going to do the same thing with Seattle. That's what those odds are saying, that their billion-dollar price tag is going to give them a great team from the jump, from day one. They're never going to have to worry about having a good team in Seattle. And I think that's BS. I really do. That is corruption at the highest level. When you buy in and they just give you a good team no matter what from day one, and all those picks and all those trades and all those players, for all the, they are going to get the best players money can buy. And as long as they can handle their finances, they're off and running. And Vegas already has them as one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. That is absolute BS.
They're in the middle.
Whatever.
But they should be last. They're an expansion team. They should be
last. They should be horrible.
They shouldn't be ahead of 12 other teams. But here's the – and here's – it's already starting to happen because now the names are starting to leak out of what guys are going to get left unprotected by teams, because we know this. The salary cap crunch in the NHL, they didn't move the cap up with the pandemic, things like that. There's going to be a lot of guys exposed who have a lot of money left on their contracts. I saw today Matt Duchene of Nashville. They're not going to protect him. He's got 5 years left at $8 million a year. I mean, he's still a young player. That's a guy that Seattle could see as a building block, even though they got to pay him a ton of money. There's going to be guys like that available.
I mean, that is unbelievable. I mean, the team I did the play-by-play for, they sucked so bad. They didn't have one player. All right, for on the bench. So the AL wins at 5-2. Did they give the MVP to Guerrero?
I believe that they did. As I was turning it off and I was reading on Twitter, they said that Manfred was out in the middle of the field with Guerrero next to him. So it sounds like that's who's getting it.
1-for-3, 2 RBI, set the tone in the third inning with a home run. He's got to get it.
Yeah, it's going to be him.
It just got to be him, right? I mean, honestly. All right, so anyway, I was watching this this clip of P.J. Tucker and Giannis talking, where they were walking in the arena in Milwaukee, and they were parking their car, and, you know, I think Giannis was parking his car, and Tucker was giving him the business and calling him money and like, you got that money, and that's what money gets you. You get to park wherever you want. He's like, is this your garage? You just get to park wherever you want. He's like, you better believe it. And he's like, that's what money gets you. You get to park wherever you want. And then Giannis gets out of the car and they start walking. And he said, you know, you're the only guy I've ever seen that has diamonds in his shoes. And PJ Tucker's like, I got diamonds. And then Giannis goes, and you're the only guy, you're the first Bentley I ever saw was when I was in Phoenix and you had a Bentley. And I said, what is that? And they said, that's a Bentley. And he said, what the hell is that? Like, I don't even know what that is, but that's the nicest car I've ever seen. And meanwhile, PJ Tucker was like, man, when you got a Bentley and you got diamonds in your shoes, I'll park wherever the F I want in Milwaukee. I don't care. I'll park in front of a fire hydrant. He's like, I got diamonds in my shoes and a Bentley. You know, he reminds me of Ric Flair, the nature boy, your boy Nate. My shoes cost more than your house. And all I know is that that little moment of like 3 or 4 minutes of them talking about money and Bentleys and diamonds in the shoes and parking wherever they want, and this is your house, just get on with yourself, money. That's what money does for you. So I'm sitting there listening to it, and you have no idea, but it's such a picture of really what it's all about. I've always told you on this show and on Coast to Coast that everything, literally everything, A to Z in professional sports All of it, even college, is about money.
I won't drive.
There is no denying it.
Mercedes or Rolls Royce. I won't go nowhere on a commercial airliner. I won't ride in nothing but limousines. And I won't make love to nothing but the best looking women in the world.
I mean, that is the epitome of what I'm talking about here. Now, listen, there are, even in college, you got Zion Williamson's family getting buckets of money for him to go to Duke. And that's just been established. We have the FBI has indicted everyone and their brother for paying players and paying illegal recruiting at the highest level. We have stories from Miami of boosters paying football players at the highest level. At the highest level, we have that everywhere, everywhere. It is everywhere. And then in the pros, you have absolutely no idea. You have no idea how much money they have. I mean, you think you know. They have more money than God. And they literally, guys like, look, baseball players making tons of money, NBA players making $200 million Supermax deals. You will never understand money. Like, they have money coming out of their ears. They don't care if they win, lose, draw, cheat. They don't care if they're in the Sports Center highlights. They don't care if they're in the papers getting bashed. They don't care if they're on TMZ. They don't care if, like, they don't even care if they get arrested. Because money gets them out of everything. Money gets them whatever they want. Money gets them the life that people don't even, you have no clue what it's like. Like, they don't go on like vacation. When they go to the Maldives and everyone else is kicked off the island. I mean, you're not even allowed to go there when they're there. When they go to a resort, they buy the whole thing. You're not even allowed to go there. The cars, like, if you saw the money that, like, Mayweather, he came to my studio one night to hang out with me, and he brought, like, literally, like, $20 million worth of watches with him. And I was like, what are you doing, bro? And he's like, I go everywhere with him. And I'm like, well, why do you do that? Isn't that kind of stupid? He's like, no one's coming near me. And I'm like, well, that's what you think, because I don't trust anybody, let alone if you're walking around with $20 million worth of watches. And then have you ever seen the bags of money he goes around with, Carver High? Like, this guy drives around with bags of money, like rolls of, he drives around with $500,000 in the car every night.
Sure. Why not?
He drives down to the sports book and he'll bet $100,000 on a game. I mean, you bet $100 on a game, you're over there in a corner like Fred Flintstone sweating bullets. You bet $100, Carver High's got like five beers going at once with whiskey shots, and each one of them, he's just trying to get through it. That guy bets $100,000 like he's brushing his teeth. And these guys talking about, listen, when I heard him talking about diamonds in his shoes and cars and Bentleys, they don't even give a F if they win the finals. I'm telling you, all they care about is money. That's it.
As whether you're a fat, out of shape truck driver, whether you're a skinny geek pushing a taxi cab, whether you're a doctor or lawyer that doesn't have half the money we have, this is the way life is.
This is the way life is. It is. But you know, it's so funny, but it's true.
He summed it up.
It is so true.
He's like a poet.
How funny is that guy, the Nate, that even now, he's an old man.
Like, he was saying this stuff 40 years ago. 40 years ago, he was saying these lines.
Because he had more money than God then, and now he's got more money than God. He makes more money now than he did then. He has every sponsor, he does whatever the F he wants. That guy is raining money I mean, you know that, right? Like, are you kidding me?
No
the
doubt.
Other day, the other day, who was it? Somebody told us he was down. He was buying a yacht.
DB saw him. Denny Bernstein saw him down in Tampa during the Stanley Cup final, and he wasn't there to watch hockey. He bought another yacht. He's going to pick up the boat.
Yacht.
Must be nice.
Now, I can't help it that I'm custom made. I can't help it that I look good, smell good, woo, can dance all night long. I can't help it that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
I mean, you know, that guy, are you kidding me? Like, it's so funny. I mean, I could sit here and go on and on. But that guy, he's a freak. He's a freak. And that's just all there is to it. But the money that these guys, they don't even, like, once you get that, like, I think that it's actually, you know what it's done? Like, for McGregor, he's made $500 million, right? And I think it's, you know, first of all, it's because of his big mouth and his sellability and his marketability, and he's been able to sell his image, his brand, his name, his aura. He's been able to sell that, right? And he's gotten so huge, and he's turned it into all this money. And he's, you know, a lot of people will say that he's smart and all this other stuff. I don't believe that. I said this last night. I don't believe he's smart. In fact, I know he's not. I think he's stupid, and I think he's one of the dumbest people I've ever seen. And I also don't believe he'll stay rich. I don't.
Yeah.
I do not believe that in – like, Mayweather's never going to run out of money. I think that guy, McGregor, will, because I think he's stupid. And I think he's a bum from Dublin, and I think he's the scum of the earth. And I think that he treats people like crap, and he's been in trouble with the law. He's been accused of everything from rape to beating people up. He's at everything. And one of these days, it's all going to catch up to him. And you know it. I mean, that guy's meant for jail. He's just bound for it. He really is. He's bound for jail. He's too stupid to turn that money. I don't ever believe that he'll keep that going, that money train. So he's just rolling around in money like he has. And I think it ruined him. I think it ruined him. When he was hungry and he was a fighter, pure and simple, and he was trying to win belts, I think he was fantastic. And once he made all that money, even after the Mayweather fight, he was finished. So I was looking at a couple of these alleged trades in the NBA that are, you know, kind of brewing. And I wanted to see if you think that you would facilitate those trades. First of all, the talk of Colin Sexton to the Knicks for Obi Toppin, Kevin Knox, and a 21 first round pick. Look, I got to tell you, like, I was really excited about Obi Toppin playing in New York, and I don't deny that he had a couple of moments for sure of, you know, big, outrageously thunderous dunks, you know, alley-oop dunks. But I got to tell you, that's not that big a deal to me in certainly not the NBA. Like,
plenty of guys can do that.
I mean, I know. Listen, I play with guys that dunk all the time. I played with a kid the other day who was throwing down dunks. And I'm just like, what's the difference between some guy throwing down a dunk or me hitting a 30-foot jump shot? What's the difference between me hitting a finger roll with a pump fake and a finger roll like George Gervin or a guy dunking a ball? There is no difference. What is the difference watching Obi Toppin have an alley-oop dunk at the Garden when he scores 2 points a game? I mean, the guy has a dunk and everybody acts like he should be on SportsCenter. I do not believe that Obi Toppin lived up to anything in the NBA at this point. He's absolutely been a flop. He does nothing ever. Kevin Knox sucks so bad. I would trade him in a minute Literally in 5 seconds, I would trade him. Who in their right mind would be stupid enough to take Kevin Knox and Obi Toppin? They both suck. The only thing that that trade is worth, Carver High, is the first round pick for Colin Sexton. And then you get the trash to go with it. I mean, Toppin and Knox are both so far. I mean, it is what it is. You are who you are. What, you think those two guys are going to turn into superstars in the NBA? I mean, they've sucked since they've been in the league. And I know Toppin's been in for 5 minutes. Knox has been in a couple of years. He's shown absolutely nothing.
Knox is finished.
Would you do that deal? Trade a first rounder for Colin Sexton and give those two bags of donuts.
And I'll tell you why I would do it. I would probably do it, and here's why. Well, Knox, like you said, he stinks. Like, Knox, you've got enough sample size. We're talking years now. You've had years. Toppin, little different. Like you said, 5 minutes, 1 year in the league so far. Can guys adjust and get better in year two, etc.? Yes, they can. Is there a chance that they could trade Toppin and he ends up being a decent player in the NBA in Cleveland? Yeah, of course there is. I don't think they have to worry about that with Knox. Knox stinks. And first round picks, you know, where they're picking, hey, look, you know, you're rolling the dice. I mean, it's a late teen pick, whatever it is. Colin Sexton, in his short amount of time in the league, has already shown that he can fill it up. Like, he's already shown that he could ball in this league more than these two other guys and whoever the unknown is that gets drafted with that pick. I think that's definitely a pick that I would, a deal that I would do if I was the Knicks.
So you'd give him all that, or would you just give him the first round pick for Sexton?
I'd give him everything. Give him all of it.
I would give him Knox and a first rounder, but I don't think he's worth all of it.
I'd run for Knox and a first rounder. I think that's an absolute 100% do it. But I'd even, if they pried about Toppin, I'd probably give that too.
Okay, what about Ben Simmons? Now, this guy's contract is absolutely enormous.
And I don't know how they trade this guy.
How about how full of shack they are in Philadelphia with all their rhetoric about how they love him and they're going to fix him? They're not fixing anything. And the minute that guy evaporated in this year's playoffs and turned into just a psychotic mess, they were done with him. There is no, we love him and we're keeping him and we're fixing him and he's got a lot of work to do. They were done with him watching him at the free throw line. They were done with him watching him pass the ball at the rim into a double team to a guy trying to do a double team dunk over him being all alone at the rim by himself that he could have dunked the ball. When he passed that ball, they were trading him. They knew that he was done mentally. They were trading him every time he was afraid to shoot a mid-range jumper from the elbow or the baseline. He couldn't shoot to save his ass. Every time he blew off a three because he knew he couldn't hit one, they traded him. They were trading him. They knew Doc Rivers would never throw that guy under the bus and admit publicly to the media. He would never admit how bad he thinks Ben Simmons sucks.
Yeah.
Because then his value's worthless. They'll never admit a guy sucks. They'll say, we love him. We're gonna fix it. Because I guarantee you, everything I just said, They already got rid of him. They got rid of him in the middle of the playoffs. They want nothing to do with him anymore because they know how bad he sucks.
Yeah, and Doc tried so hard not to completely hammer him too. Like, there were nights you could tell with Doc in the post game where he wanted to really unload, and he held back for that reason, because you can't completely diminish a guy's value. You just can't.
That's right. It's this big business. But you have to tell me, honestly, who in their right mind wants Ben Simmons?
I don't know.
For $30 million a year to watch that guy. All he can do is go north and south and dunk. That's it. I don't even trust him shooting a layup. I only trust him running up and down the court and dunking because he is 6'10". I'll give you that. Yeah. And I know he can defend. He can defend. But how much longer is that guy going to want to defend in the NBA when everyone already has written him off that he sucks? When once they tell you you suck and everyone talks about it, like we are right now, and when they write about it, and when they podcast about it, and when they talk on TV about it all day about how he's afraid to shoot the ball, and he can't shoot the ball, and he can't knock down a mid-range or a three or a free throw. Once they start saying that about you and they say you suck and you have no game, then what's the point trying to play defense anymore? I mean, what's the point even playing anymore? That guys, once they realize that they're like they have no game other than he can dunk and play defense, but he's making $30 million a year no matter what.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. I mean, I'll be surprised a guy shows up for practice. I mean, honestly, the morning shoot around, a guy will be in bed at the hotel at the Ritz-Carlton sleeping. Getting up, having waffles with bacon, syrup, strawberries, whipped cream, coffee with Kahlua in it. Having a cigar and a hooker instead of practicing. Why practice when you know everyone thinks you suck? He ain't got, people are saying they're going to fix him. He's going to work on his game this summer. Are you kidding me? That guy, would you honestly, what stupid ass, dumb GM. I can't wait to see where they trade him. I can't wait to see who takes him.
Well, look.
Do you really think that guy's ever going to be good again?
No. But I think we have to start with what they're asking for. Like, they want an all-star caliber player back. Like, I just don't see how that's realistic unless we can find an all-star caliber player who is, you know, a malcontent somewhere else that they need to get out of town and you need a fresh start for fresh start. I'd have to go through every team and try to find a situation like that. But then you have to also factor in the money. And like you said, he's making some serious coin. Now, everybody in the NBA does. I get it. But, man, for a guy who's as big a hack as he is, for the amount of scratch that he's going to be making over the next several years, that's tough. And then you want an all-star caliber player back in return?
Do you think
who's laying that out?
Do you think they'll have to end up paying a big portion of it? Like that they'll end up having to send the bill to the Sixers to pay the tab?
I mean, it's going to depend on what they want. It's going to depend on what they want back. Now, if they wanted to take less back, I'm sure the team will pay the bill. If they want their all-star caliber player, I think that's going to be a little different.
Who in their right mind would trade an all-star player for a guy that can't even shoot a layup? I mean, yeah,
that's honestly, the problem.
If you trade for him and give up a star player for him, you should be fired. I don't care what anybody says, bro. He absolutely hairdryer. He's hairdryer city. I mean, he is absolutely awful. His game is gone. He's mentally, I mean, he's got the yips. Your boy's finished. And you know what's great about him is he's rich as F. He can do whatever he wants. He never has to work another day in his life.
Hanging out at Wimbledon.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Don't even get me started on that. I didn't even know he was there. I don't watch Wimbledon. I don't have time to watch that girly Wimbledon.
I don't watch it either.
I mean, you can quote me on that too. I can't hang out with the king and queen.
They put his picture everywhere because like 24 or 48 hours after saying I'm not going to play for Australia in the Olympics, there he was sitting courtside at Wimbledon, hanging out there. So,
I mean, why would you want him on the Australian team? He sucks. I'd rather have Ingles and Patty Mills 6 ways till Sunday than that hack. Listen, I have nothing against Ben Simmons. He's 6'10". He's a monster up and down north-south. There's no doubt he can play D and can ball and can run down the floor and dish and whatever, but he cannot He cannot shoot the ball. This is basketball, son. We're not bowling. You know what I mean? This isn't fishing. You know, this isn't, you know, football or any. This is basketball. You have to be able to shoot the rock. Listen, if you're getting that kind of money every year and a gigantic max deal, you have to be a superstar and put the ball in the hole. That's all there is to it. There's no getting around it. You cannot deserve that kind of money if you cannot shoot the ball. You have to score. If you are making $200 million, you have to be able to score every night. That is plain and simple, flat out. There's no getting around it. There is no excuse. You cannot have a guy that all he can do is dunk because he's 6'10". I've never met a guy in my life that was 6'10 or 7 foot that couldn't dunk. I mean, he can dunk in his sleep. He can defend. He can't do anything else. He's a head case. I wouldn't want him on the Aussie Olympic team. He sucks. Guy's a freak. He can't even shoot anything. I mean, what shot can he make besides none? He's terrible. I don't want him on my team. I couldn't even trade him if I tried. Tell you what, I almost would rather have Lonzo Ball than Colin Sexton. I think Colin Sexton's a better shooter. I don't deny he can score and shoot better than Lonzo Ball, but I think Lonzo Ball does everything else better. Running the floor, dishing, diamond. He's gotten way better at shooting, too. Yeah. I thought he played great in New Orleans. I'll tell you another thing, Carver High, in terms of, like, you know, people, you know, you're talking about players and everything else moving around, you know. I talked about it today with John Collins. He's another guy that he's going to get offers like crazy. Yeah. And but look, the Cavs, Pacers, Wolves, Kings, Raptors, all interested in Ben Simmons. I just do not believe that. One last thing I wanted to throw your way. How about this? They're working on a big Italy and Argentina match.
How about that?
To be played in Naples in honor of Diego Maradona. They're going to play, you know, those two, the European champs.
The two federations are going to get together. The two federations are going to get together and hopefully work it out for December that they can play that game, Argentina, Italy, and maybe make it a regular thing, you know, because they every 2 years, or every 4 years, I should say, play the Euro and the Copa winner afterwards. That would be outstanding.
God, can you imagine how great that game would be? I got to tell you, I really like that Italian team. They haven't lost a game since 2019. They're good. And then I think later this week, Thursday night, the USA team plays in that Gold Cup again.
Yes.
They play Thursday night. So we'll see how they do. Whenever they have these Euros and the World Cups and the Gold Cups, I'm into it. I don't know what it is. I just can't get enough of it. And then the rest of the year, I lose interest. But right after they have these things, I want to watch the soccer as much as possible, and then my interest wanes. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern on Coast to Coast from the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands. Good night.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.